Isn't it fun to be in a church that you always got testimonies?
Amen.
I'm going to ask Paula to come up and tell her testimony again. It's been a while, but we got a couple of double whammies here, so I want you to tell yours first. Okay, tell us how long you were sick and all kinds of stuff. You got to hold it up close.
All right. I was sick for 20 years with fibromyalgia. Don't know if anyone knows what that is, but it is a disease a lot of people don't understand. I went for 2 years to doctor after doctor after doctor. Some of them saying I was just imagining things. Some of them saying, I really wasn't sick. They gave me narcotics. I have a pan that I actually can pear preserves in. And pear preserve pans are pretty big. And I had it filled with drugs that they wanted me to take. And of course, with drugs, there's side effects. And I take some of them for a while. Then I said, I'm not taking this mess. I'm just going to live with it. I'm not taking it. And my husband would look at me sometimes, and he wouldn't even say anything. All he would say to me was, cement? And I'd shake my head yes, because the only way I could describe it is standing in a pit and someone pouring cement, wet cement, up to your neck, and as it dries, your body's being crushed, every nerve, every being of your body being crushed, and the pain was just excruciating. So I went on for years and years, worked, never missed work. I just pushed through. I said, thank God for the grit in my crawl, and just kept on going. And so I heard about this church from Miss Betty, and she kept telling me, you need to come over here to this church. And I said, okay, I will. So finally, I came. I don't know what took me so long. And so I was here, and I heard Brother Thurman talk about healing and that you could be healed, totally healed, and I heard Dave's testimony. And what really got me was, if you've never listened to Dave's testimony, you really need to listen to that testimony.
Amen.
Because when I listened to it, all I could think of was what he was feeling and looking like on the outside, which was indescribable. It's how I felt on the inside. And there's no sleeping. You can't get in a comfortable position. There's not a part of your body from your head to your toe that you do not have pain. It's like someone took a bat and just beat your body, and you have all those bruises, you know. Or when you exercise, like, oh, I'm going to exercise and lose weight this week, and you go in out and do it, and then you can't hardly move or walk. Well, that's how my body was 24/7. Constant, and spasms, and oh geez, just everything you can imagine. Well, I came here and listened to Brother Thurman, and I took some tapes home, and I listened to those, and I listened to Dave's. I watched his DVD and stuff, and I went, wow, you know, he can do that for me. So I came and I went to Grace and Mike. That's who the Lord led me to, was Grace and Mike. And I told them what I'd been going through and stuff, and they prayed for me. And I felt instantly better right then. I mean, right then I felt instantly better. Went home. I didn't know quite yet how to do that fighting after the fact, because when you walk out of here, it is true, the devil will say you're not healed. He'll tell you all kinds of things. So I came back the next Sunday, and I told Gracie and Mike, and I said, you know, I'm still having problems. I'm still hurting. So they prayed for me again. And that time I said, I'm done. I'm not putting up with this anymore. The devil's a liar. Someone in church asked me here just a couple weeks ago, she said, how do you keep your healing? And, you know, the only way to keep your healing is every time you feel something coming back on you, you have to stop and say, devil, get your hands off me. Go back to hell with you and all your... I talk to him, scream at him. I refuse to let him take my body over like that again. Because you're not going to keep it just by just walking and going along and just thinking he's not going to bother you. Because it's kind of like Sharon said, he wants to kill you. That's what he wants to do. And it is a constant battle fighting the devil. But, oh, my gosh, the rewards of what God did for me through prayer in this church and his teachings have just, there's no words. There's no words for it. And that's just a short version of my testimony. But the main thing is, I don't care what you have, how you're feeling, or anything else, you can be healed.
Amen.
You can
Amen.
Be. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. And I listen to these tapes. I go and I find myself talking to people, and I'm like the tape of Brother Thurman in my head, and I'm just speaking it. Or of Dave or of Jeff, their teachings, or all of them have just blessed me beyond Amen. Words. And my other testimony that's so amazing, God is so good, is my sister. Just before I started coming to church here last August, I had spent almost the last year with my sister, my baby sister Morrissey. She's here today. They called in, they told her, she had this lump come up on her side of her neck. And she was working in a daycare and stuff, and it kept getting larger. And someone finally said, you know, you really ought to go get that seen about, because it's really sticking out there. She goes, well, okay, I guess I'll go get it looked at. Well, anyway, she went, and they told her it was stage 4 throat cancer. They told her she had 30% chance of living. And, of course, all this other baloney they told her and everything. So, me, I'm going down there, you know, I'm going to march down there. And so, they're lying. They're all lying. You're going to listen to nothing they say. Because I have sisters that have been in church all their life. A sister, particularly, love her to pieces. But she is one of these that, you know, well, don't, okay, well, you know, God's not going to just heal. You got to, you know, and I'm, so anyway, I have to go around all of that. So, I told Marcy, don't listen to her. So, I stayed up there at the church, at the hospital with her. Almost every weekend I'd go down there and stay with her. And I would just walk around the room. She's laying there, and if someone was to physically look at her, you'd think, man, she is pretty rough, you know. And the doctors that came in, the radiation doctors and all this, and I told Marcy, I said, Marcy, don't take chemo. And she's in her daughter's in the medical field. And, of course, you know, she doesn't know these teachings or anything. And she knows the Lord, but she, you know. And she told her, Mama, you're going to take chemo. You're not, you know. So Marcy, they wanted to give her, I think, 4 treatments, sister, of chemo. I think 4. But anyway, she took the first one, and she just about didn't live through it. So she said, I'm not taking no more. Well, Bryn kept on, and she had the power of medical attorney, so she didn't want to step on her feet. She took the second one. Then she said, no more. They said, well, you have to have more. She said, no more. So I told her, I said, don't take any more. I said, I'm telling you. So I called up here at the church before I came to this church. And a lady named Gloria answered the phone. And I said, I've listened to Brother Thurman, haven't been to the church yet, but I've listened to him on the internet and stuff. And I said, so I know how he teaches. And I said, I'm standing for my sister against everybody else that's against her. I'm standing that cancer will be gone. It'll never return, and that she'll get a good, clean report, and that's going to be it. She stopped all treatment. She's not doing any more, and that's what I'm believing for. She said, "Okay, then." So, boy, Gloria, man, she's a prayer warrior. Mm. So she prayed, and the prayer she prayed, I wish I could have had it recorded, but it was amazing. And I agreed with her, and she told me, "Now, you stand." Whatever you do, don't listen. And I tell Marcy, don't you listen to what they're saying. Don't listen, because if you listen to what they're saying, if I'd have listened to what the doctor said to me, number one, I'd been a drug addict. If it hadn't have already shut my liver down and everything else from all the side effects. So anyway, I told her, don't listen. So she gets out of the hospital, and this is stage 4. And they came in and told us when they took her to surgery, there was nothing there. The doctor said it's worse than we could have ever imagined. I said, I don't care what he says. And like I said, I had all the family. Sometimes you just got to stand no matter what anyone else says. And it's hard, because I wanted to jump up on them, rip the throat off, and cram it down their throat. You know, this is what the Bullard says. You can't do that, you know, because they're looking at me like I'm, okay, whatever, Paula. And I'm like, okay, I've always been kind of the black sheep anyway, so whatever. But anyway, so long story short of it, praise God. Total clean report. She's gone back 3 or 4 times. Total clean report. No more treatments. Nothing. Total healing. And she can swallow now. She can eat now. And they're removing her feeding tube Wednesday.
Wednesday. Wow.
Yes.
Praise God. this girl, you notice here a couple of times, she almost got out of her love walk, you know. Sometimes you have to do that to the enemy, right?
Sure. Last time I want to say this testimony, I'll just say this really quick. I went into this appointment to talk to this lady about natural hormones, and I do a lot of health things and try to eat right and all this stuff. And I was talking to her, and her assistant was in there. And we were talking about things, and she was called out of the room. And she said, "Oh man," she said, "it's really bad." I said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Well, she got this little puppy, and this puppy means the world to her." And she said, "It got parvo, even though it got a parvo shot." And I said, "Oh," and they said, "It's not good." So this was like her fourth call, and they basically told her the dog's not going to live. And so she came in, she was all long face and kind of tears in her eyes. And she goes, "I don't know what I did wrong. I did everything they told me to do. I got it vaccinated, everything." And I said, "You believe in the Lord?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Well, we're going to pray." So all these people were, and I'm not very quiet, or in this, I was in the room with them. So her and her sister, we came and we raised our hands, and I said this prayer, and I just prayed, and I stood, and I said, "That dog's going to be okay, and you're going to get a good report." I said, "Delay is not denial. Stand on that." I said, "I don't care who comes at you, what that vet says, when he calls you back, that dog's going to live." And she said, "Okay." She said, "Well, can I ask you one more thing to pray about?" And I said, "Well, sure." She said, "My dad's dying of cancer. He's in his 80s, and he's dying of cancer, and he's never known the Lord." I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "Okay." So I said, "Well, we're going to pray right now." So we prayed, and I said, "Lord, you send someone to that man that he will listen to, and that he will give his life to you, Lord, before you take him, Father. Send someone, Lord, to say the sinner's prayer." And I said, "It's done. Don't even worry about it. It's done." And she looked, I said, "It's just done. Just believe me." She says, "He won't even let me talk to him, Paul." I said, "I don't care. The Lord's going to take care of it." So I didn't see her for 6 weeks. I didn't know nothing about the puppy, didn't know nothing about her father. I didn't know what went on. So 6 weeks later, I see her, and I say, "Samantha, how you doing?" And she said, "Guess what?" And I said, "What?" She said, "My puppy lived." I said, "It did." She said, "Yeah." I said, "What did I tell you?" She said, "I know." And you know what? You know when you said delay is not denial? I said, "Yes." She said, "Look." She wrote it on her bulletin board. She said, "That's what I'm standing on. Whenever I pray now, I say, Lord, if you don't answer it now, I know delay is not denial." I said, "Great." She said, "I have something else." And I said, "What?" She said, "My dad passed away." And I just started almost weeping, because I weep. Someone cries, I'm going to cry. But she didn't. She had tears, but they were tears of joy. She said, "The day he died, he came back conscious enough, and a man came in the room and talked to him about the Lord." She said, "I just missed it, Paula." And he said the sinner's prayer, and God took him.
Amen, amen, and amen. Wow, praise the Lord. Don't ever give up, right? Don't ever give up. It's never too late. It's never too late. I mean, stand on that word. And I've got another wonderful testimony that a man told me a while ago, and I'm going to ask Max to come up and give his testimony. And I want you to listen real close to this one, too. This is an awesome testimony. He told me about this. I just got all excited. I want you to hear this.
It's kind of hard to follow, Paul.
Yeah.
But this one will speak to the women.
Amen.
18 years ago, my wife got her master's degree, and our agreement was she got her master's degree, I'd give her diamond earrings. So for 18 years, she's worn diamond earrings, you know, on and off, and she'd put them in, and she'd wear them for 2 or 3 days, and then take them out and, you know, change earrings or whatever. Well, last Wednesday, she took my son up to Oklahoma to register for college. And when she was gone, she was wearing the earrings. Well, when she came back, she was missing one. She didn't know where it was, but she was back at the house missing an earring. And I said, "Well, let's just pray about it." So she prayed, I prayed. At the same day, we had a lady come in, and she helped clean the house. So she had cleaned the house and, you know, cleaned the shower. My mother-in-law is staying with us. She took a shower that afternoon. You know, then on Thursday, that was Thursday afternoon, so it's Wednesday, Thursday, my wife was taking one of our other sons, got up early, she showered before me, and then I got up and showered, and So there's been four people in the shower so far. The cleaning lady, my wife, my mother-in-law, and now me. When I finish the shower, I look down on the floor, and about 6 inches from the drain, I pick up her diamond earring. Now, the miracle comes in. My wife was wearing these diamond earrings, and all you women understand diamond earrings have backs on them. Picked it up, still had the back on it. So that's the miracle that started that day.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen, amen. Let me tell you something. When the Lord says, pray about
everything
with
thanksgiving.
Okay, y'all have got it. You understand why he does things like that. Just think. I mean, that she had had those things, he said, for 18 years, I think he said. And then she wore them to Oklahoma and back, and then she lost it. I mean, you know, she had it in. So it means the little clip was on the back. And all you women, I know, understand that. But when she gets back, when it's missing, and they pray. And just think, you can't have too many people praying, can you? I mean, she prayed, he prayed, the cleaning lady prayed. They all prayed. But what gets me is four people had been through that shower. Four people. Three of them took showers and one of them cleaned it. And then when Max goes in there and looks down there on the floor, there is that earring with the clip. When he told me the clip was still on the back of it, I thought, this is absolutely... I said, when they prayed, what did God do?
He
sent an angel to find all the pieces, put it all back together, and after everybody had been through the shower, when Max started to get in it, he looked down, the angel had laid it right there. You know, there's no way three people could have showered and cleaned that shower and that thing still lay 6 inches from the drain. So, I mean, is our God an awesome God? He is beyond awesome, is he not? Wow. Don't you love serving a God that shows up and does things for us? Heals our bodies, answers all kinds of prayer. Just think, when he says, ask me anything with thanksgiving, I will do it for you. You know, he really meant that, didn't he? One of these days, we're going to get it. If we keep on, we're going to get that. Aren't we? Mike, we're going to find out what it's like. He can answer a prayer for anything you can ask for if you ask in faith, nothing wavering. That's the only secret. You've got to ask in faith, nothing wavering. And then you got to stand on that word. Just like Paula said, you know, if the enemy tries to come back and put a symptom upon you, you say no. No, I'm not letting you, devil. You're a liar. You're out of here. You're not going to put this back on me. I'm not going to let you put this back on me. I was healed by the stripes of Jesus. I'm going to stay healed by the stripes of Jesus. And you're not going to do this to me. And so Max asked me a while ago, he said, well, have you got your 2010 vision yet? I said, not yet, but I'm still working on it. He said, well, I'm just believing God for 2020 for me. I said, well, 2020 would have been good enough for me, but the Lord told Cheryl to pray for me for 2010. So if he told her to pray for 2010, then I'm going to be believing that the day's coming when he's going to give me 2010 vision. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Wow, were those some good testimonies? Are those good testimonies? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, let's go to 1 John 1. Let's go to 1 John 1. Let's look into the book of 1 John today. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now then, I want to know, is this woman sitting here on the front, really sitting here on the front row? She looks like she is. I'm looking at her. Yeah, she's real. She's warm. And I've looked at her and I've felt of her and I've talked with her and I've ate with her. Let me tell you, this woman's real. Do y'all understand?
Yes.
Now, this is what these people are trying to tell us. Let me tell you, this Jesus that we're talking about, he's just not some fly-by-night cowboy. We have walked with him for years. We have ate with him. We've slept with him. We've talked with him. I mean, he is real. Just like Cheryl is real. She's sitting right here. I mean, I don't have to guess. I have felt of her. I've touched her. I put my hand on her head. I put my hand on her body. Her body's warm. Her heart's obviously pumping. She's still alive and well. So how do I know she's alive and well? I've experienced her. Isn't that true? I've even handled her. You know, I know she's real. So somebody says, you know, but this woman, let me show you a picture of this girl. They show me the picture and say, this woman never existed. Let me tell you, I don't care what you tell me. It'd be hard to tell somebody that if somebody took away Scott today to try to convince you that he never existed. Because you've lived with him and loved him for years, right? How many years did you say y'all been married the other day?
29.
29 years, just the other day. So it'd be hard to tell you that he never existed, right?
Absolutely.
It's impossible. But there is people out there today that will try their best to tell you that healing doesn't work. That it's not there. God doesn't do these kind of things anymore. How many of you have heard somebody say that in the last few weeks? That Jesus doesn't heal. I mean, he doesn't do miracles. Wow. But I know he does, and you know he does. That's why I have these testimonies with people like Paula and her sister and, you know, all kinds of testimonies. I love it. And then whenever we get healed, we see something like that, we think how awesome that is. And then when I ask Max to come up and tell this story, this is not about healing, but that just goes to show that if you ask God for anything, and just think his wife had worked diligently to get her master's degree, and he promised to get her those nice, beautiful diamond earrings if she got her master's degree. That girl worked for those things, did she not? A master's degree don't come easy. You know, it takes some study and time and effort and everything. So when she fulfilled that obligation and got her master's degree, he bought her the diamond rings. So she's earrings. So she's had them now for 18 years. And she loved those things and she didn't want to lose them. But the average person today, the average person, even those in church, if you lose those diamond earrings, here's what they'll do. Everybody they meet, they'll say, what a sad thing. I lost my earrings. I lost my earrings. I lost my earrings. Your earrings are lost. But you didn't really lose your earring. You just misplaced them. Now then, if your confession is, I just misplaced them, Lord, I don't know where they are, but I know you know where they are, and I ask you to bring them back to me. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. And what does he do? He brought them back. But what I thought was so cool, in a shower with a tapered drain, and three people had been through and showered in that shower, and then one had cleaned that shower. And then Max goes and looks down at the floor, and there it is, laying 6 inches from the drain. Is that pretty awesome? And then, of course, when he told me he still had the back on, I said, oh, Lord. Now, that's not just a coincidence. Somebody put, if that woman wore those earrings to Oklahoma City and back, they had the backs on them. And then when she gets back somewhere, she loses it. And who knows where she lost it? I mean, there ain't no telling where that woman lost it. She might have lost it in the office in Oklahoma City. You know that? There's a very good possibility that it fell out up there somewhere. And when they prayed, the Lord, he has no distance, nothing, no time with him or nothing. Whenever they prayed and asked the Lord to let them find that earring, he sent an angel, and that angel went right to that earring. He got that earring, brought that thing, and laid it down. I believe after everybody had showered, everybody had cleaned the shower and everything else, whenever he started to walk by there, the Lord said, now will be a good time. So the angel reached over and laid the diamond earring right there in the light, where it would glisten in the light, where when he looked in the shower, he says, well, there it is, laying right there in the shower. Of all places, for it not to be, that's where it was. Isn't that amazing? Verse 2. Let's go to verse 2. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we hear it. We hear witness and show unto you what eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Just think, I have never had the privilege to see Jesus. I don't know if there's anybody in here that ever has seen him or not, but I have not seen the Lord. But I don't have to see him. I have seen his miracles. I remember the first time the Lord spoke to me audibly, many years ago. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, when he spoke to me and said, son, pay attention. I started to read that verse. He said, son, pay attention. I have a message for you in the next few verses. Let me tell you, I heard that audible voice. When people say, God don't speak audible no more, you got to me too late. I heard it. I know he talks. I've heard what he said, and it changed my life forever. It was telling me that I needed to teach my children and my family about the Lord. I needed to be a living example of Jesus Christ to my family. And I'm telling you, I took that to heart, and I started doing that. And because of my obedience to do what he said, since that day in 1977, I guess it was somewhere along there. Yeah, 1977. From that day to this, I have heard the audible voice of God over 50 times. But one time's all it took. I knew he was real. I didn't see him. I didn't get to touch him. I didn't get to handle him. I didn't get to eat with him. I didn't get to do any of these things these boys got to do for years. But they're trying to tell you, folks, he's real. He's real. Jesus is really real. It doesn't make any sense what anybody tries to tell you. When people say, you know, God don't do these things anymore, he does. Hey, you got to me too late. It's written in the book, and that's what they wrote this book. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it. I mean, just like I said, you want to tell me Cheryl never existed? Forget it. You know, I can see her sitting right there. I've touched her. I've helped her. I've loved her. You know, we went together and eat together. We've had all kinds of fun together. We've done all kinds of. You tell me this girl's not real? You're too late. You're too late. But just think of the people today. Think of the people that does not believe that Jesus Christ is real. They're all around the place, all over the place. And Jesus is not real. The enemy, he's pretty good, isn't he, Paula? He freely can deceive you. Which was with the Father and manifested unto us. Next verse. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that which also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. If you get in the Word and you will begin to read the Word, as you read the Word of God, I guarantee if you spend enough time in the Word reading and studying the Word of God and ask him to manifest himself to you, he promises to do that, and he will. You will hear his audible voice. He will talk to you. He will show you great and mighty things that you know not. We may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Just think, the King is living right there, inside of you and me. He's living there, and he's wanting to talk with us. He's wanting to answer our prayer. He's wanting to do things, just like he healed Paula and her sister, just like he did Max's earrings for his wife. God wants to do things for us, but he wants us to walk with him and praise him and worship him and thank him and not be ashamed of him. And there's so many people today that they just don't believe that God is real. That's what's wrong with our country today. That's why we're in the shape we're in today. People do not believe that God is real. And so we're suffering what we're suffering. We're undergoing the terrible tests and trials and things that are happening in America. All because we're not putting God first. I don't know what's going to happen in America, but I mean, I've read the scriptures many times, and I'm telling you there's going something devastating is going to happen to this country within the next year or two.
That's right, that's right.
It's going to happen. You better make sure that you are prepared, that you're in a place with God, that you're if you haven't read and memorized Psalms 91, you need to.
Amen.
If you have read and memorized Psalms 91, to all of us that dwell in the secret place of the Most High God and say that He is our Lord and our Savior, in Him we trust, I guarantee you, if you will do that and do what it says, then He says, no sickness, no disease shall come near your dwelling. He will protect you. He will take care of you. He will keep you healthy. He'll provide for you. And somebody says, well, what if I get killed? Well, praise God. That's the best gift you're going to get, you know. If you die, we get to go home to be with Jesus. No, the battles are all over. You don't have to worry about it. That would be the best gift He could give any of us. We just don't see it like that. But that is the best gift that God can give us, is to bring us home to be with Jesus. Can you imagine how good it's going to be in heaven? No, I mean, the other day I was reading an article where a man had been to heaven. And he said, I looked down and said, I saw these flowers, and they were the most beautiful flowers I had ever seen in my life. And it's like all the little petals in the whatever you want to call it, they were like a little tongue singing. And he said, I looked down and thought, wow, wouldn't that be awesome to have a bouquet of those? And he said, instantly when I thought that, I had a bouquet of those things in my hands, and those flowers were beautiful. And I looked, the closer I looked, those little tongues, they were actually singing a beautiful song to me. Now, when's the last time you had a flower sing to you on earth? I haven't ever had a little flower sing to me. I will have to say they're beautiful, they're awesome, but I've never had one sing to me. But I can easily believe that in heaven the flowers can sing to us. Can't you?
Yes.
Oh, wow. It's just amazing. Let's go to verse 4. Verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. They're writing these things in 1 John to let you and me know that Jesus Christ is really real. We have ate with Him. We have slept with Him. We have talked with Him. We have walked with Him. We've done everything. We've seen His miracles. In fact, He's given us power to pray for the sick, and we have prayed for the sick and seen them get well. Well, Jesus, that we should be doing the same thing, right? I mean, everything that Jesus did with His disciples and His apostles, we are supposed to be doing the same thing with Him. So as we walk and as we talk, as we walk with God and do what He says, we should be experiencing the same exact answer to prayer that they did when they talked to Him directly. And if we're not, there's something wrong. We need to have that same experience. Because they said, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. I want my joy to be full, don't you? Yes, I absolutely want my joy to be full. And it can be. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. No darkness whatsoever. I got tickled a while ago when Paula was giving her testimony. Almost for a second, she was going to let the darkness overtake her. That's what we call the flesh. But you know, you can get mad at the devil and his people, right? Yeah, you really can, because if you go to a hospital today, or if you got family, almost everybody will try their best to talk you out of doing it God's way. They don't want you to believe in Jesus. They don't want you, the average church member does not believe that God is the healer today. And it's so sad, because when Jesus said we have to believe with no doubt in our heart, that's why he's writing this book to us, the book of 1 John, that this is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. None whatsoever. There's no darkness in God. Verse 6. Let's go to verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. It's real easy for somebody to miss this. If we say that we have fellowship with him, in other words, how many people do I minister to? Do I talk to on the telephone? And usually it's women. When I talk to a woman on the phone, I ask her, is she married? Yes, I have a husband. Well, is your husband saved? Yes. Does he go to church with you? No. He takes me and the children and drops us off, and then he goes fishing or somewhere else or whatever, but he does not go to church. But he's a Christian. I'm not too sure of that. Isn't that something? He's been deceived. Yes, we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. If you say you're a Christian and you don't go to church, you say you're a Christian and you don't tithe, you say you're a Christian, you don't walk in love with your mate, you don't forgive, what's God saying here? If we say we have fellowship with him, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus. How many of you have heard somebody say that they're a Christian and they do not go to church? I mean, all the time. Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay. Me and God got an okay deal. Well, what does God say about that? What does he say? If we say that we have fellowship with him, in other words, I fellowship with Jesus. Okay, yeah, sure you do. But I just don't go to church. And, I've got other things to do. I don't want to go to church. I'm certainly not going to go down there to that church and tithe. You know, you have no idea how many men, especially that I've heard, I ain't going down there. All them preachers want your money. The preacher, if he's preaching about money, he's preaching what God talked about. It ain't him. It's not him that wants your money. It's God that wants your money. And God tells you, if God tells you to tithe, what should you do? You better tithe, I guarantee you. Yeah, you don't have to. You know, you can not tithe at all, but when that scripture, and I think it's in Proverbs 3, I forget which verse it is, 3:10 or 3:10, I think it is. Yeah. No, the one I was thinking about. In fact, let's come back here to verse 6 in just a minute. Let's go to Proverbs 3:10 and let's see what that says. Let's just see if I'm in the right place. I may be. Proverbs 3:10. So shall your barns be full with plenty. Let's see what the verse above that. Let's go up to about verse 6 or 7. Or verse 9. Let's see what verse 9 says. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Okay, verse 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Okay, 8. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Okay, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now, what does that sound like? That sound like tithing? Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Well, in those first few verses we read down through there, the ones we just read over, if we obey him and do what he said there, it's going to bring health to all of our flesh and a long life to us. Is that what he said? Wow. So, you know, if you read that from the negative side, so what if I don't honor him? What if I don't do what he says? I might not have such a good life. If he says, if I do these things, I'll be blessed. If I don't do them, I won't be blessed. Then in verse 9, he says, honor the Lord with your substance. That means your income, your money. And with the first fruits of all your increase. Your increase, everything you make, honor the Lord with it. So how do you do that today? You give it to your local church, wherever you go to church. Honor the Lord with your substance. Well, if you do all that in verse 9, then let's see what he says will happen to you in verse 10. Look at verse 10. So shall your barns be filled with plenty. In other words, do you want your barn to be filled with plenty? Do you want your pocketbook to be full, or you want it to be empty? I want mine full. And your presses shall burst out with new wine. Just think. I have people all the time that come to me and say, Pastor, I need a little extra money for my rent. I got to have a couple hundred dollars. I can't make it. I said, are you a tither? Absolutely not. You know, I cannot make it now. What do you think the answer would be? What if you will honor the Lord with the first fruits of all of your increase, your barns are filled with plenty. I mean, your barn could be your billfold. Now, what do you want to do? You want to be able to open your billfold and look in it and see nothing but $100 bills, or you want to open it up and see one $1 bill? Or maybe it don't have nothing but black leather. I don't want mine to be nothing but black leather. Do you, Kim? I want to be blessed. Now, what do you say I got to do to be blessed? I got to tithe. I got to give him the first fruits of all of my increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your presses that burst out with new wine. If I honor the Lord with everything I have. So if I don't give him something, don't give him the first fruits, if I don't tithe, he says clearly that he will curse me. In fact, if you go past this right here, back to Malachi, where some of y'all were talking about a few minutes ago, go back to Malachi 3, he says, if you don't tithe, then I will curse you with a curse. Yeah, double whammy. And I sure don't want to be cursed with a double whammy. One curse is bad enough. But if you get two or three in there, I don't think I want that. Okay, let's go back to where we were, verse 6 in 1 John. Let's go back there. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. I get tickled at people that will say, but I want to ask him, I said, are you a tither? No, I'm not a tither. I said, well, you can't be blessed. I'm blessed. I said, oh, you are? Yeah, I'm blessed. You really think you're blessed? Do you know people like that don't know what it is to be blessed? They don't know what blessed is. I say, well, you know, have you got $500 in your pocket? Well, no. When I heard this guy tell me the other day, he said, I forget how he came up with this information, but we were talking about people not being blessed. And he said, I done a survey, and I don't know how he did it or who with, but he said, I found out in the survey that one out of every three people in America, one out of three, could only, if you take everybody and put three of them over here and three of them over here and three of them over here, only one out of each one of those groups would be able to get you $500 that day. There's no way they have access to $500. Wow. Isn't that something? You can't even come up with $500? There is times, not all the time, but there is times I might have $100 in my billfold at one time, you know, but if I had to come up with $500, I could go to the bank, and I got $500 in the bank. You know, I could come up with $500 real easy. I'm telling you what, if I was living a life that I could not come up with $500 in the course of a week, if somebody needed it or if I needed it, I think that I would start looking around to see what I'm doing wrong. I'm a son of God, and I'm supposed to be a joint heir with Christ, and everything that belongs to Him is supposed to belong to me. And I need, just like that earring, if I needed $500, I ought to say, Lord, I need $500. And I walk along, and there on the ground, somebody else lost that earring that wasn't a Christian, didn't know how to pray. So they didn't find it, but I look down, and there's a really expensive earring. Do you believe God can do that for you?
Yes.
Of course He can. He can do anything, you know. I've seen Him do those kind of things. But, you know, so many people say, we have fellowship with Him. We walk in darkness. You don't walk in love. If you don't walk in love, you're walking in darkness. Verse 7. Let's see what verse 7 says. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another. And the blood, and listen to this next statement. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, listen to that statement. If you walk in the light with God, that's kind of like Psalm 91, isn't it? Oh, Psalm 91 is in the old covenant. This is in the new covenant. But if we walk in the light, we walk in obedience to His word, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Did you know that if I'm walking in the light, I don't even have to confess sin because I don't have any sin? The blood of Jesus is cleansing me from all unrighteousness. Is that a good place to walk with God? That's where He wants it. But if, you notice that, but if we walk in the light, you remember, you got to walk in love. You got to walk with God. As He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Is it possible to be cleansed from all sin? According to the Word, all you got to do is walk in obedience to His Word, right? If you walk there, walk in love, then the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin and all unrighteousness, and you are a child of God. Wow. Verse 8, let's see, this is good stuff. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If you say, I have never sinned, then we know that's a lie, don't we? There ain't none of us would dare say, that I have never sinned, because we know that we all have sinned. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. All we got to say is, Lord, I have sinned. I have failed short of the glory of God. Now I'm asking You to clean me up. Let me walk holy in Your presence. And with Your help, I'm going to clean up my act. I'm going to walk holy before You, and I'm not going to sin anymore with Your help. I'm going to purify myself from all unrighteousness. Is that possible to do?
Yes.
Absolutely. If it wasn't possible, He would have not told us to do it. So verse 9, let's see what verse 9 says. If we confess, okay, here's the good part. If we confess our sin, in other words, if you know you've got sin and you confess that sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you realize that you've done something wrong, just like the Jenna back there on the pictures of Jenna and her mother and dad, when we prayed for Jenna and her healing when she was 6 to 8 years old, a year and a half, we could not get that little girl healed. I mean, we could not. We confessed sin. I confessed my sin, their sin. They confessed their sin. We all repented of our sin, the sins that we didn't even know we had. We did everything, but we could not get that little girl healed. Finally, I told that couple, I said, there is a sin somewhere that one of you or both of you committed that God doesn't like. And I said, we're going to have to find it. And the husband said, well, how in the world are we going to find it, Thurman? And I said, well, the only way I know is Jeremiah 33:3, where the Lord says, call unto Me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. So I said, I want y'all to go to the Lord and pray. And both of you, I told Him, I said, you're the spiritual head of the house. So I want you to do the praying. But I want you and your wife together to pray, but I want you to do the praying, and I want y'all to ask the Lord to show you what sin that one of you or both of you have committed that caused him to strike your baby with this sickness. So they started praying, and they prayed 3 weeks. And 3 weeks the Lord spoke to her and told her it was her lying and deception to her husband. Her lying and deception to her husband. I would never dream that any woman would ever lie to her husband. Never. Would she? No, I'd hope not. But they do. Oh, my goodness gracious alive. So anyway, she did. She lied to her husband. She deceived her husband. But she did confess her sin to her husband and ask him to forgive her. And he forgave her. Then she confessed her sin to the Lord, and he forgave her. And then she called me after we'd found out what the sin was, and they had confessed it to the Lord and to each other. And I prayed one more prayer of faith for that little girl. And in 2 weeks, that little girl was completely healed. If you have never seen Jenna's pictures, when you start to leave today, look at her. The ones as you go out the double doorway right there, the ones there on the right is where she was sick. The ones to the left is after she got healed. So just look at that little girl, and you'll see what kind of an awesome thing God did for that little girl. But he's telling us right here, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Now then, in 1 John 1:9 that we just read there, what kind of sin can you commit that God won't forgive? As far as I know, there's nothing. As far as I know, he will forgive every sin. You know, I mean, he says he will. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we confess it, he will forgive it. You know, so, okay, verse 10, let's go to verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We all know we have sinned and come short of the glory of God, do we not? So let's don't try to hide something or do something. We just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry I messed up. And here's, I like to do this. I say, Lord, will you please remember that I'm just dust? You know, I'm just a man. You know, I'm just dust. And Lord, I mean, I can't, it seems like I can't do everything right. I'm just like y'all. You know, that when I sin, I sin. When you sin, you sin. And some of us will sin before we get out of here today. Some of us will sin before we get home today. Some of us will sin before we get in bed tonight. But thank God we serve a God that forgives us. And when he forgives us, we say, thank you, Lord. And we do not say that we have not sinned. We do not want to make you a liar, God. We know we have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Next verse. Okay, the next chapter then. The next chapter and verse 1. Yeah, the next chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Now then, he's writing these things to you and me to let us know that we are not supposed to sin. Is that what that says? My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. If we do mess up, we have somebody that we can go to. And the thing about it is, it took me way too long to realize this, that when you sin, I mean, it doesn't take much to sin. Anything you do that's not of faith is sin. When you do sin, when you fall from grace, as Dave used that word a while ago, falling from grace. When you do, and that's in the scripture, when you do fall from grace or sin, usually there's already a demon sitting there with a fiery dart drawn, aiming it right at you, waiting to get you. He don't have to wait long. Usually, a demon, I've sinned a couple of times in my life whenever before the word cleared my mouth, a demon with a fiery dart would hit me. And I would come down with asthma, allergy, or something. It's just amazing how instantly it can happen to you. But all you got to do is repent. Repent of the sin and then drive out the devil. Sometimes it's not easy to drive out. I've had some experiences in my life when I would sin and he would come in and make me sick immediately, put asthmas or allergies or something like that. I would repent of my sin, and then sometimes the longest one, it took me 4 days of rebuking the enemy to get him to leave. He just would not leave. I had to get violent with him, just like Paula was saying a while ago. You sometimes just scream at him, don't you? You just have to do whatever you have to do to keep him out. But if you know you have confessed your sin, then don't let the beast sin, because if you let him stay in there, he'll stay in there. That you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, which is Jesus Christ the righteous. Okay, next verse, verse 2. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Just think, the blood of Jesus is good enough to cleanse the entire world from sin. Boy, is there some sin in this world? I'm telling you, there's some sin in this world, but his blood is so powerful that it can cleanse the entire world of sin. Wow, the sins of the whole world. Verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now, does his commandments tell you to go to church? Yes. His commandments says go to church. His commandments says walk in love. Does God command you to love one another?
Yes,
yes he does. Does his commandments command you to love him?
Yes.
Does it command you to love your neighbor?
Yes.
Does it command you to love yourself?
Yes.
Okay, he says there, hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So if you don't keep his commandments, you got a problem. And that's what brings sickness and disease. Verse 4, let's see what verse 4 says. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandment, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Wow. If you talk about offending somebody, somebody says, I'm a Christian. You go to church? No. Just like that girl here a while back that I was in the barbershop I've told you all about. And a new girl, I'd never seen her before. I was getting a haircut. So I said, are you a Christian? Yes. I said, you go to church? Yes. I said, well, if you're a Christian, you go to church. What good things did God do in your life? Oh, she said, I just had my second son. I said, well, praise God. I said, how long have you and your husband been married? Oh, I'm not married. I've never been married. I said, what? You got two sons and you're not married, never have been married? I said, I thought you told me you were a Christian. Well, she said, I am. I said, no, no, huh? I said, that's a curse. That'll bring a curse on you and them kids. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Boy, that woman got so mad at me, she walked outside for a little while. She finally come back in. I said, well, are you going to finish cutting my hair or not? Well, I'll find somebody else, you know, no problem. One thing about hair, if they mess it up, it always grows back, praise God. So anyway, I just, she went ahead, but she never said another word. Not another word. She didn't like what I said. But anyway, as I finished and I started to leave, paid her and started to leave, the owner of the barbershop come outside with me. She said, Mr. Scrivener, you need to learn to not to do those kind of things. I said, what do you mean? She said, you offended that girl. I said, honey, I told her, she said, you need to be more loving. I said, let me tell you what, the kind of love that I have, you don't understand. I said, if I didn't love that girl in there, I'd have just let her die and go to hell.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have said a word to her. But I said, because I do love her and I do care for her. I said, I'm telling you that that woman in there that was cutting my hair, that's had two sons out of wedlock, is on her way to hell. I said, if that woman died today, although she said she was a Christian, she does not obey God's rules, she does not do what he says. I said, the scripture clearly says, no adulterer or no fornicator shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Is that what it says?
Amen.
So if I didn't care, had no compassion at all or no love for this girl, I'd just say, you know, well, okay, if you have no husband, that's okay. But that's not okay. That's what I would have said if I didn't love her. But if I love her, I got to tell her the truth. But she, as I mentioned that to her, she said, well, you know, God will forgive me. I said, yes, he will. I said, if you go home tonight and tell God, I'm sorry that I brought these two children into the world out of wedlock. If you ask him to forgive you, he will. I said, if you go back to bed with that boy tonight, I said, that's then now you're sinning willfully. I said, and he will not forgive that. That will bring a fiery judgment of God upon you because you know the truth. Wow. So I told the lady, I said, if y'all want to do something good here in this barbershop, I said, you all need to start a Bible study. Say Tuesday night or something. After everybody leaves, y'all have a Bible study. Read the New Testament. I said, just read it. You'll be amazed at what you'll learn if you just read it out loud. The other day I was back down there and I said, well, you girls started a Bible study? She said, we have. I said, well, praise God. That's good. So they, at least they're studying the Bible now. And in other words, what if I hadn't said anything? They wouldn't have started a Bible study. You see, we are too passive, are we not? We need to tell, as we're the salt and light of the earth. Is that right? We're supposed to be telling people about Jesus. Because just think, the way I read the book, if you die without Jesus, you get to go to hell forever and ever and ever. I love people way more than that. If I never met you, don't know anything about you, I still love you enough to tell you about Jesus, because I wouldn't want anybody to die, go to hell. Would you? No, no. If you get mad at me, that's okay. I don't care. That's okay. But if he clearly said, he that saith that I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So if you say you're a Christian, and if you go to church, and then you're sleeping with some guy that you ain't married to, and you brought two kids into the world, you say that you know him? He says, you keep my commandments. One of his commandments is, thou shalt not commit adultery. Is that in the Ten Commandments? Is that one of God's commandments? I mean, does it say that? Does the Bible really say, thou shalt not commit adultery? Okay, if it does, then if you say you're a Christian and you're living in adultery, what's the Bible say about you? What does it say? You're a liar. That's what it says. If you keep not his commandments, you are a liar. And the truth, and this is God talking. This is his word. Wow. And the truth is not in you. Verse 5. Let's go on a little further here. Verse 5. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. If you keep his commandments, he that keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. This is the way you can tell if you're in him. Isn't that something? If you obey God. Verse 6. Let's go to verse 6. He that saith he abide in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Now stop and think about that scripture. You and me are supposed to walk in the same walk that Christ walked in on this earth. What did he do on this earth? Just stop and think about it. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk. If I call myself a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, you're supposed to walk just like Jesus, right, Scott? Most people don't even think like that, do they? It's amazing the number of people that we see that when they learn the scripture, that I'm supposed to be just like Christ. I'm supposed to walk with him. I'm supposed to be like him. I'm supposed to do what he did. I should be able to touch the sick and they get well. I should be able to pray for people Isn't that amazing? I should be able to do the same things that Jesus Christ did when he was here, because where does he live?
In our heart.
In our heart. He is right there. So anything he does, you should do.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Wow.
Even greater.
Now, you know, you were stepping on thin ice before you said that statement. You're already on thin ice, girl. Now you're telling me I'm supposed to do greater things than Jesus has done?
Amen.
You got a scripture to back that up? Of course she's got a scripture to back that up. I know she knows where it's at, too.
I do.
But just think. You know, if you go to a church, and many of you do go to a church that... If you go to a Sunday morning Bible study or something, and they start talking about powerful things or like healing or whatever, you'll have men and women in those classes that will tell you, you know, Jesus don't do those things anymore. That's only, he only did that. Have you ever heard that before, Paula?
All the time.
All the time. It's kind of hard to tell you he don't heal no more, right?
It's impossible.
It's impossible. She's gone off the deep end just like you did, Kim. After you've gotten healed a time or two or three, it's impossible to believe that God don't answer prayer, isn't it? Wow. Wow. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we're supposed to do the same thing Jesus did. How many of you really believe that you can do the same things Jesus done? Wow, that's a bunch of you. Praise the Lord. That's nearly all of you. Wow. Father, I want to thank you and praise you for this week, for this day, and this coming week. And I thank you for all the miracles you're going to do. And I thank you, Lord, for Dave explaining communion to us so clearly so we can all examine ourselves and know that Jesus paid the price for us so we don't have to be sick. We're going to stand on your word. We've repented of all sin, and we're going to believe with no doubt in our heart that we can also pray for the sick, and we can pray for the lost. And just like Paula prayed for that man and got him saved just in the last few seconds before he died, the Lord sent the right person just because she prayed a prayer of faith. Lord, I thank you and praise you for honoring your word, making your word work in our lives, and showing us so that we can see you do your mighty miracles of healing and restoration and salvation. We are so grateful that we serve a living God that's alive and well, and that you speak to us. I know many, many people, most of them in this room, have heard your audible voice at one time or another. And I thank you for talking to them. And those that have not heard that, Lord, I ask you to speak to them and show them the truth. And I thank you, Lord, for being such an awesome, mighty God. Thank you for blessing us. Now, Lord, inspire us in every way you can this week as we go, that we talk to everybody we can talk to about Jesus. We want to see people saved, healed, and delivered. Lord, we give you praise and glory. And if we see anybody that's sick or anything, Lord, just put the faith in us to be able to touch them, to pray for them, to do something. You've showed us so many ways that we can do things to get people saved, healed, and delivered. Lord, help us to do something for your kingdom. And Lord, thank you as we give our tithes and our donations into your kingdom, wherever we give it, Lord, that you will bless us, and we will be people that will have an abundance so we can bless other people every day. And we thank you and praise you for giving all of us the abundance we need to be a blessing to everybody around us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday, y'all remember, those of you that were here, I talked about the young man that's sitting on the front row up here that I kept pounding into him the Word of God. And in Des Moines, when we were in Des Moines. And he finally said, I got it. I got it. I'm healed. And I said, yes, you are. This week, we got confirmation from him. He called, and Kelly got the phone call, and he told us that he'd been back to the doctor, and he's healed. Yeah, and cancer.
He had no cancer.
Yeah, the cancer was gone, yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm telling you, we serve an awesome God, kids. But here we've had all kinds of testimonies today of healing, of every, all kinds of things, and of Max finding the Lord bringing his wife's diamond earring back, and people getting healed. I mean, my goodness, I went to a Baptist church all my life and never had this many testimonies my whole life in the Baptist church. This all happened this week. Wow. Don't we love serving Jesus? Wow. We are his sons and daughters, and he gives us all power and all authority over the enemy. And we just need to walk holy in his presence so that we give no place to the devil. Wow. I just stand in awe. Amen. God's good, isn't he? He is. He is awesome.